From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
It's a most unusual thing for God to take a man who's being used as a preacher in a mighty and sweeping revival movement and direct him out into some desert where, given the scorching sun, the wearying heat, the burning sand, the inhospitable if not uninhabitable conditions, there's hardly a man, woman or child for miles around. A most unusual thing indeed. Some might say even crazy. But no matter how crazy it sounds, that's exactly what our God did. The book of Acts, chapter 8, contains the record of it. Philip the evangelist was the man it happened to. But just before we discover why it all happened, let's listen to George Beverly Shea as he sings, You Sent an Angel.
You sent an angel to stand by Paul one night on a ship on a storm-tossed sea. You sent an angel to comfort your only son just before he died for me. So Lord, hear the prayer of this sinner, saved by grace. Send an angel to guard and comfort me. And as I face the burdens of tomorrow, Lord, give me strength to be what you would have me be. An angel into a prison to rescue Peter. He broke the chains on his arms with such ease. You sent an angel to save Daniel from the lion just because in you he believed. So Lord, hear the prayer of this sinner, saved by grace. Send an angel to guide and comfort me. And as I face the burdens of tomorrow, Lord, give me strength to be what you would have me be. Give me strength to be what you would have me be.
Good morning. It's Ian Brown again, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our gospel broadcast. Do keep listening, and remember, we always love to hear from you. The showers of God's blessing were falling on many of the villages and towns in the land of Samaria. A definite turning to the Lord for salvation was being seen there, and Philip was right in the middle of those thrilling scenes, until God sent his angel and his spirit to him and directed him away. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, the verses 26 to 29, I read, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. Philip did, and the rest, as they say, is history. There was an Ethiopian eunuch travelling in a chariot that day, and he was pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation by Philip. He was gloriously converted. Now I want to run my thumb over some features that really stand out about the conversion of this Ethiopian man. First of all, the man showed all the signs of having a great requirement. We can be pretty sure that he needed nothing in the material realm. Socially, the man had attained to a most lofty position. He was well-heeled. In Acts 8 and verse 27, we have these words: he was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. So this Ethiopian was a chief man in his country. He was entrusted with the most delicate and crucial affairs of the realm. He had been elevated to the office of Chancellor of the Exchequer, and given the makeup of those old African dynasties, this eunuch would have wielded so much power. However, holding a high secular position, surrounded by the refinements of life, having access to unlimited amounts of finance wasn't the be-all and the end-all that so many people in the world today imagine it is. You see, this Ethiopian had appreciated that social position and wealth weren't the most important things in life. He, for one, recognized the truth of Jesus' words in Mark chapter 8, the verses 36 and 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In spite of his position of real power, he'd no calm in his conscience, no peace in his heart, no satisfaction for the strong yearnings of his spiritual nature. And it was for this calm and peace and satisfaction, in a word, for God's so great salvation, that he was seeking. Let's emphasize it today. The Ethiopian eunuch, spiritually, he adopted the most lowly position. Acts chapter 8 and verse 27 tells us that the eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now let's get that in perspective. Jerusalem was 1,200 miles away from where he lived. So he had travelled a great distance to worship God. Clearly he had an interest in the things of God. He was looking for the true, the living, the eternal Jehovah. And now that he's on his way home from Jerusalem, he's still showing his interest in the things of God. For in the chariot, he's reading from the Bible. And Philip ran thither to him, Acts 8 and verse 30 tells us, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" The Ethiopian said to Philip, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now there's a fair bit of humility about this man. No doubt he was highly educated. He had to be, of course, to be Chancellor of the Exchequer. And the man gives us a little glimpse of his education here, in that he's able to read the manuscript of the Bible in a foreign language. But such is his honesty and his humility and his anxiety to discover the truth that he didn't put on a show of learning in front of Philip and pretend that he had a full grasp of all that he was reading. He said, "How can I understand this, except some man should guide me?" He willed Philip on to guide him into the truth of the Lord. I wish the same could be said of every unconverted person today. That you, if you were unconverted, would follow in the wise and in the humble footsteps of this man, that you would realize the emptiness of the world around you, the necessity to have God's salvation within you, that you wouldn't be sidetracked from looking for it, but you would seek it in this book, the Bible, and seek for someone to point you into the way of life and truth and gladness and ultimately heaven. This eunuch had a great requirement. But notice in the second instance that he received a grand revelation. Acts 8 and verse 30 tells us, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah." The prophet Isaiah, the evangelical prophet as he's known. Isaiah is the prophet who wrote frequently and brilliantly about Christ, both in his coming into the world and his death upon the cross. And it was the classic passage about the death of the Saviour in Isaiah's prophecy that this Ethiopian eunuch searching for salvation was reading from when Philip met him. He was reading from no less a passage than Isaiah chapter 53. I'll tell you this, Philip must have been delighted to be able to open his mouth and begin at the same scripture and preach unto him Jesus. That's what Acts 8 and verse 35 tells us he did. He preached unto him Jesus. What a theme. Christ crucified, an incomparable, inexhaustible theme. An experienced evangelist once taught his younger brethren to preach a full gospel, Christ and nothing less. A plain gospel, Christ and nothing more. A pure gospel, Christ and nothing else. And that's exactly what Philip did with this Ethiopian eunuch. I haven't got time to go into the details of all that he preached that day in this program, but if you study out Acts chapter 8, you'll discover that Philip was able to point this Ethiopian to the Lamb, Christ, and his suffering. To the Lamb and his silence. He also talked about the Lamb and his sacrifice, for Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter. His life was taken from the earth. Christ and him crucified was Philip's message that day. And that's the message of any preacher who's worth a salt. In the words of Austin Miles, the message was simply this: they nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Crucified, crucified, and nailed upon the tree, with pierced hands and feet inside, for you, for me. I've said that this man had a great requirement. He needed God's salvation, but he also received a grand revelation, for here in his chariot Philip the Evangelist preaches to him the glorious message of Christ crucified. That's the message this world needs today. Notice also there was a genuine result that came out of this grand revelation. I find here the solid, incontestable proof that as the Saviour was brought before that sinner's eyes that day out in the desert, the eunuch cried to God for salvation. He embraced Jesus, and he was granted the peace, the satisfaction, and the joy that he'd been craving. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 39 direct us to the reliance or the faith that this Ethiopian showed. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, a clear confession of a newfound faith. I'm told that he was baptized, and surely that was the outward sign that accompanied and announced the truth of the inward work that had just been done in his heart. I think not only of the eunuch's reliance, but of his rejoicing. That was another proof of his conversion. Acts 8 and verse 39 closes with the words, and he went on his way rejoicing. I pray that you, as you listen to the message of Jesus Christ today, of him crucified, dying for sinners, dying for you, that your heart will rejoice, that you too will rely on him, that you will come to Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith today for Jesus' eternal glory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.